If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
What's happening, friends? Welcome to Unlocked, episode 409. It's IGN's weekly Xbox show. It's a busy week coming up. Gears 5 is here. We're going to talk about the campaign specifically. Miranda Sanchez getting going on the multiplayer review. I reviewed the campaign, so we'll talk spoiler-free on all that stuff. Plus, Mark and I got to play about 6 hours worth of Ghost Recon Breakpoint, so we'll break all that down. Big news for Cyberpunk 2077. Telltale Games has risen from the dead inexplicably, plus a new Resident Evil game getting teased. All that and more coming up on Unlocked 409.
Podcast Unlocked.
What's happening, my friends? Ryan McCaffrey here. Destin Laguerre.
Bam! Hey, everybody.
To
Gears
my right.
5.
Look at that. Not even
I'm
letting me get your name out of my mouth before you're already jumping
people,
right in.
People said the bam was too delayed.
Shot out of a cannon. Mark Medina.
Yeah. Gears Hi. 5. It's a video game.
It is a video game. We're going to talk all about it.
Talking about it.
Miranda Sanchez, great to see you again.
Oh, good to be back. I'm just so glad I could be back for Gears. I'm just so excited. Like, I'm just beaming over here. It's been a while, and I just want to talk about video
3 years. It's been 3 years since Gears of War 4.
I have this weird feeling we're going to talk about Gears of War in this episode.
Yeah,
review embargo's up, so depending on when you're watching this, the game might not quite be playable yet. It unlocks for Game Pass Ultimate members on the 6th, which usually ends up being Thursday night at 9 p.m. Pacific, which is, of course, midnight on Friday on the East Coast, and the further east you go on over across the Atlantic to Europe. My campaign review is up on IGN. I encourage you to go read it, watch it. That's what keeps these lights literally on, is you watching and consuming our content. But I will tell you, yes, 8.8 out of 10 is my campaign score. Now, just to clarify, I think most people are pretty clear on it, but we can't get the whole thing bottom dollar, be totally done with the review, because there's no one to play with on real live servers yet. And games like Battlefield 4, Master Chief Collection, et cetera, have taught us that we can't rely. We've got to play in real world conditions.
Thanks, Modern Warfare 2. That's where it all started.
Was it that far back?
I think it was Modern Warfare 2. They had a review event, and a lot of outlets reviewed based on that multiplayer experience. Then it was a disaster at launch.
That was like 10 years ago.
It was a long time ago, man. But that's what set this precedent. It's like, all right, we need to have a better separation, and we're more responsible.
Anyway, we're trying to be more fair to first and foremost, the audience.
The consumer.
Yeah, that's who we care most about. Miranda, you were dividing and conquering. I took the campaign. You are on multiplayer. You've started. What have you gotten a chance to jump into so far?
Escape. Because that's only three people, we can just rally up and go for it. Yeah. So we don't really have to wait for servers to be online in order to do that.
Yeah.
Is anything going on in the online space?
I haven't actually even tried to get multiplayer. I just got the game downloaded and started getting into it. So I haven't even checked.
Yeah.
I'm scared. I think they are online, but it's just like the super.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes sense to start with Escape and Horde for now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like those for sure. I can review in their state as they are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas online multiplayer, as you just said, we definitely want everyone to get in those servers first and then play it as it is for everybody and not just select a group of individuals.
Yeah, I played last night. There was one multiplayer lobby and it was literally pro players because I was streaming on the Unlocked channel and they're like, hey, you're playing against like top tier best in the world
player. How'd that go for you?
Oh, I got destroyed. I have like 22 eliminations though. I'll take
it. It's not
bad. Last place.
It's kind of fun to do that though because then you can see just that difference in skill.
Yeah.
Like you can see it happening and how people are maneuvering. And
yeah, it was great.
It's different. Yeah. Just except you're going to be at the bottom and it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Mark, I know you just jumped in. You did the quick first hour of the campaign. You're just getting rolling.
Yeah. I downloaded it last night. We've had it for a couple of days, but it's like already crazy busy here. And so Gears is like, we all sometimes get like assigned different games. And I wasn't on Gears, so it was just like, I don't have time for anything else. And so I was like, I looked at Unlocked today, and I was like, okay, I got to at least like pull the trigger once. And so I played it for like an hour, literally right before walking into here.
A little show prep.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And it's also Gears. Ryan was watching me, and I was like, it's definitely Gears of War.
You got to throw your grenade in the e-hole, though, to close the e-hole. I tried to tell you.
Well, the headphones are so loud. It's like, I always forget with Gears because I literally have not played Gears since Gears of War 4. Because I don't really play the multiplayer too much. And I keep forgetting that. And this is what I was having trouble with when you were watching me is I always forget in Gears when you run out of ammo, you have to then look at your reloading thing until you get good at like being able to do it on your own. And so it's just like, my guy's just like, and he's like, oh, come on.
Is he Italian now?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
I'm just like getting wrecked and then my gun's just like jamming over and over. I'm like,
we love you, Mark. But come on.
I just,
oh, come on.
As the video game character said.
I'm glad you mentioned, though, not playing since Gears 4.
And yeah, I really haven't.
Something that Gears 5 does that I super appreciate, and I wish more major franchise sequels would do this. Gears 5 isn't the first game to do this, but I don't see it nearly as often as I would like.
Pretty rare.
As soon as you start the game, and it's also in the menu too, so you can go look at it anytime you want, there is a previously on Gears video.
It's great.
It's like a 2 to 3 minute recap of Gears 4.
So much.
Yeah.
Like it was you, just great.
You walked up and said, what are you playing Gears 4? And I was like, no, just watch the recap.
There's also in that extras menu in the main menu, a recap on all of the Gears franchise.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that's right. Yeah. The story so far or whatever.
Yeah. So you can go back. If it's been a while, you can go and watch that. It's definitely not a substitute for not having played those. It's like, if you haven't played those games, you probably should.
Yeah.
Maria.
Yeah,
Devil May Cry did that, and I thought it was awesome.
Yeah,
Devil May Cry gives you this whole recap.
I hope Halo Infinite does that because it'll have been 5 years. But when Halo Infinite's out, it'll be 5 years since Halo 5, whose story was a nonsensical disaster to begin with.
Well, and how many years since like Halo 1? You know what I mean? So it's like
it will be like 19 years,
right? And so it's like, yeah, it'd be nice to get a full.
Gears 5. It's really great. It doubles down on story, which the point I made in the intro of my review is, you know, Halo's always gotten, and deservedly so, it's gotten the credit as this wonderful narrative, story-driven action series. But now, like, Gears is where it's these meatheads. It's Gears is where the best major blockbuster action stories are being told on Xbox from a first party perspective, right? Like, you know, it's 5 was a letdown on the Halo side, but just setting even that aside, you know, Gears has never missed a beat story wise. The first one had a good story. Everybody fell in love with the characters. Gears 2 took it, the search for Maria to its conclusion. Gears 3, we know what happened with brothers in that one. And then, you know, Gears 4 was was the, you know, the Force Awakens of, mm-hmm. of the series with bringing in the new kids and having the older guys around to pass the torch. And five definitely continues that. If I've had some people ask me, if you have the opportunity to play Gears 4 first, which if you have Game Pass, you do have, you that, do opportunity, have that opportunity. I would strongly encourage that you play Gears 4. Not only do I think it's a great game, I gave it I think 9.2 when it released, but story-wise, it's a much better jumping in point than just trying to jump like into the cold pool that is Gears 5 without any context. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you'd do okay, but
why would you do that? Four is super great. Just go there, play it in order.
Yes,
and if you're playing Gears on Friday, that means you have Game Pass. So yeah, that's your own Gears 4.
So, Mark, you said Gears 5 is gorgeous, and I have to absolutely agree with you. I am constantly blown away by these set pieces that they keep setting us up with, like where you're rappelling down the waterfall and it just sort of seamlessly goes right into the gameplay right at the beginning.
That first scene felt like a show of force, like, hello.
They're showing up, right?
We look so good. Yeah. I'm like, yes, you do. And it sounds great, too.
Yeah. I'm like, all right, Coalition, we get it. You're really good at crafting.
I keep looking at my gun when you're aiming and you're shooting, like, the Lancers and stuff like that. Yeah. It's like, just look at what the gun is doing. I feel like it's doing so much.
See their
it looks
arms
so cool.
Too?
Yeah.
It's like, ugh.
The gameplay feels like the Gears gameplay that you like, all like perfected, basically. The graphics look great. Just by the way, I'm not on the review. Ryan is on the review, but like this is my impression from the first 2 hours. So to give that context, and like I cannot wait to hop back in and see where else they're going to take me and what else they can do technically. And I'm really excited.
Yeah, Act 3, I think you'll like a lot.
Oh,
it's very pretty from a visual perspective. it's what the thing that you'll notice first. Now, I know, yes, that they patched it. They patched Gears 4 when the Xbox One X came out. But if you just played Gears 4 when it came out, this will be new to you, which is 60 frames per second for the campaign.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which looks really great. I did notice a few, more than a few little, just minor hitches here and there, like when cutscenes were loading or actually playing. And I did see more little, like I saw a lot of little instances of debris and like fleshy chunks floating in the air after like a battle, which I don't remember seeing in Gears before, but it's nothing to even bother about, other than to say like, oh, I've never... Gears is, I've not seen that before, but I want to emphasize like they've done so much starting with the 60 frames where
does
it's
it
just
still run
so
at
good.
30 on a regular Xbox?
I still need to check it on a regular one, but I think it's 60 on, I think it's 60 on everything.
Maybe it's like 720, 60 on.
I need to double check. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question? Sort of a weird technical thing. Are you playing the game as it's installed on an external?
Yeah, I put everything.
I had an issue with Injustice 2 for the same thing.
I remember that.
So I put it on the internal drive and it fixed that problem. So the stuttering issue, if you're going to be playing at home, I highly recommend try it out on the internal. Like Ryan and I both have 4 gig external drives.
Four terabytes. 4 gigs, huh?
Yeah.
Well, huge.
It's going to get really
far. Recommended
four,
way back at launch.
4 terabytes.
Four terabytes.
Like, wow, 4 gigs.
Huh? Yeah. Four gigabytes.
Yeah, that'll break your game.
Yeah.
No wonder it looks like garbage.
I'm wondering if that's going to be a thing as they're pushing these textures higher and higher for the Xbox One X. Maybe it's just something we should consider.
Yeah, it is definitely. You're right. It's a good point to keep an eye on. But it's I really had a great time with it. The structure of the game, I don't even necessarily want to, I guess I mentioned the review, but the structure of the game changes in the middle act, which it's a really interesting change of pace for Gears.
I had it spoiled for me. I kind of know what's going to happen, but
I think
I'm bummed.
Tell us.
I don't really know what happens, but I think...
Don't tell me.
Well, I'm not going to say any narrative stuff, but
it's a design thing, right?
They sort of change the expectation a little bit of the way the game flows in the middle acts, which works out really well. And I saw some reviewers weren't as enamored with that. I thought it worked pretty well. Because what I think Gears has pretty well always been really good at, certainly since the Coalition took it over, I've actually talked to Rod about this, is pardon me, geez, gameplay variety.
Yeah, we talked about that at lunch with Rod.
Mm-hmm. You know, Gears 4, I thought, did a tremendous job of that, you know, varying between character-driven stuff and vehicle sections, on-foot sections, the giant robot section at the end.
Like implementing, like, horde gameplay, like, kind of getting your testing your feet in the water with that, but introducing new kinds of mechanics and just... It's like you will see this maybe once or twice throughout the campaign, and then you don't see it again, because they're going to bring in something fresh, and it just keeps this... Everything's so exciting.
Exactly, exactly. And Gears 5 has its own way of going about that, which I thought they did a really good job on. And you know, Marcus is still here, and Baird's here, and Cole's here. So, you know, it's great to have the old guys still around and still, you know, cracking wise. And,
yeah.
So I've only played a very little bit of the introduction. This isn't spoilers at all. But I can already tell just how much I love, and I was saying this before the show, Marcus and Kate's relationship. And how it feels like likes Kate more than his own son. And I'm just,
yeah.
It's really cute.
The way everybody interacts is really, really interesting. And I feel like everybody gets their own character beats. And just seeing how they all play together has been done in such an excellent way, at least in the introductory segments.
Yeah. And like their relationships with each other feel very defined too. Like
they feel solidified.
Yeah. Right? Like obviously we have Marcus as more of a mentor role for Kate specifically, but the way he acts as a father with JD is really like interesting. And so I think, and just the way they all relate to each other is.
Yeah.
And that's what I really like about Gears 5 is that these are not cardboard cutout characters. Like they feel developed, and you can sense the sort of history and relationships between them. Mm-hmm. And the Coalition did a really great job with that. I mean, even, you know, Del, who's been, you know, the third member of the sort of new generation of Gears. Del has a lot to do in this game, and you know, he is not just like sidekick guy, or you know, he's there, and you really get a sense for who he is and his relationship with Kate and with JD. And you know, I think some people might be shocked at just how much story is in Gears 5. Like, there's a lot of controller downtime, and I mean that in a good way. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not like for 20 minutes, like it's not like a Kojima thing, but you know, where you set the controller down and you get a good cutscene pretty frequently of, you know, to kind of update you on what's going on with the characters and the adventure and where we're going and what we're doing. And I do want to talk to everyone about where it ultimately goes once you all finish it. But I can't say anything about it I don't even want to hint
just wait.
At anyone.
Just wait.
But yeah, I'm very eager for not only everybody at this table to finish it, but everybody in our audience to finish it too, because I'm sort of curious how people will react to the game. But yeah, I was super impressed. Can't wait to play some Horde with you, Miranda. And then you'll do your multiplayer review, put a score on that for people. So if you're just interested, if you don't care about campaign, just want to know how the multiplayer is, Miranda's got you covered. Yes. If you only care about the campaign, you don't care about multiplayer, I've got you covered. Mm-hmm. And then I will be sort of unifying those with, there's no math involved. It won't be like an average of the two scores. It'll just be, we'll talk.
Yeah.
And then we'll put a final review with a final score on there. But so far, so good.
I got a question for Miranda and one for you that I don't know if you want to touch on. But did you get to play as Sarah Connor in the T-800?
Not yet.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Like, they're pretty neat. Like I messed around with them yesterday, and it's just neat seeing them in that environment.
I love how goofy they're getting with all this.
Yeah.
Like, look at all these characters we're bringing in because we can.
Yeah.
It's like, go for it.
Have
this
fun
is the
with
place
it.
To do it.
Why not?
I love it when developers have fun with multiplayer. It's like, that is your playground, right? Like, this has nothing to do with your universe as it is. Like, this is just go have fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Let us have fun.
They're really embracing that.
Yeah.
And then for you, what did you think about the upgrading your drone to like,
oh, thank you. Yeah. That was the other kind of big gameplay thing I wanted to hit on. And I totally spaced till you kindly reminded me. Yeah. The game, if you look back, if you go Gears 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the gameplay has evolved pretty steadily over that time. I wouldn't say any one Gears was like a major gameplay rewrite or revolution over the others, but just they've built on each other so well over time where now in Gears 5, there are a ton of weapons in this game. Yeah. And they're all super fun. One of the new ones is a swarm. The swarm have taken, this isn't a spoiler, the swarm have taken and basically adapted the Lancer as their own way, where it's got the that hard rock stuff, the crystal stuff, and like that's the teeth of the Lancer. And so, but the way it doesn't fire like a Lancer. If you, when you first start firing it, it's pretty spread and it's not accurate, but then you hold it down longer and it does, and it gets more accurate. Yeah. But then if you hold it down too long, it starts to kind of peter out. So there's like this little mini game.
Weird, like pepper sweet spot.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So sorry, Miranda.
It's more of an LMG almost, right?
Yeah, I guess that's a fair way to put it. So yeah, just there's new weapons that integrate beautifully with all the old ones. I mean, Gears 4 added the Overkill, which might be my favorite gun of that the Coalition has made in their time with it. I use the Overkill a ton in Gears 5 because that's the one where it's basically a ultra super shotgun pull the trigger once and it unloads one round, and then when you let go of the trigger, it fires the other round. So you got to kind of you're up against cover, and then you get pop up, let one go, hold it down for the next guy because you've just turned that guy into chunks. Get over to the next one, let it go to fire the second shot, and it's so good. So yeah, the weapons are great, but Jack is sort of, I would say, the focal point of the gameplay evolution in Gears 5. He's really integral to the to the gameplay now, but not in a very complimentary way. So there are these upgrade components scattered all over the world. You pick them up all over the place. You know, just look around corners and look around, just a little off the beaten path. And you earn these upgrade components, and Jack has these skills that unlock over the course of the game. The first one you get is a flash, so he can just flash blind enemies just to stun them for a couple seconds, give you a chance to get in there.
That's the one I unlocked, and I'm like, oh, I really want to ask Ryan about this mechanic.
Yeah, and then there are others later, including a shock, like it zaps them and holds them there. And there's a stim to heal your group. So I won't tell you all of them, but yeah, that the Jack stuff is a really interesting complement to the game, because not only there are sort of active things that he can do for you, but then also there are things you can tell him to do, which spice things up nicely. So yeah, it's and then you're deciding, do you want to pump like all your points into a few skills and max them out and have like killer abilities there, or do you want to kind of dabble in a little bit of all of them and have your choice, because you can select a couple different powers at a time. And so the Jack upgrade stuff is a really nice system, I think, in Gears 5.
Cool. I have one small piece of feedback.
Do it.
Please let me skip the tutorial.
Oh.
That's it.
Well, the tutorial's like really well written.
It's cute, but we've played it before. I played Gears 4, 3, 2, 1, Gears Ultimate.
I did skip the tutorial.
I'm pretty sure you can.
I could not.
Okay.
I had to play through it.
You just pause the game and you just go to the main menu, and then you can just go to campaign and
pro tips
right
from
in.
Mark Medina.
But there, to say, you can just get out of it.
All right, so you just go to main menu, then you go back in. So it starts it, then you get out of it, then you go back.
Yeah, because I noticed that too, because we'd already played that, and I remember it being like a little bit of a slog.
Yeah, this is my third time playing
And so when it booted up, I was like, no. And so, yeah, I just went to the main menu and then clicked campaign, and I was on the helicopter.
Right. Good to know.
I will say, if you have not, if you didn't play the beta, or if you're lapsed, you should play it. Like, it's also just fun to play because of the banter between JD and Baird.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah, it's funny. I just didn't want to play it for a third time.
Yeah, that's totally fair.
Yeah. One other interesting note, just on a related note here. Dave Bautista, who has long publicly campaigned to play Marcus Fenix in the Gears of War movie, is finally sort of getting his wish. So he's playing himself in Gears 5 as a multiplayer character. He'll be added on September 15th after a WWE event. So Dave tweeting about this, the Rod Ferguson and the Coalition team. Everybody was very excited to see this happen.
It's cool.
The Coalition saying, quote, Dave has long been passionate about joining the Gears franchise, and we're thrilled to be working in partnership with him to bring his signature WWE style to the game. The iconic attitude of WWE's Batista will be incorporated into Gears 5 as a multiplayer skin, allowing both Gears and wrestling fans alike to jump into the action as Batista across all multiplayer modes, including Horde versus and Escape.
Do you not unlock it? They tweeted about it. I don't actually know how to unlock it, though.
Oh, I'll have to go back and look.
Oh, okay.
Since it's, you know,
I don't know, till later.
We got a little time.
I just love this so much. You can just read from Dave's tweets about how excited he is about this.
He comes off really genuine, like a genuine person.
He always has.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just very happy for him.
Yeah.
He's so like fitting, you know, just big hulking, you know, like he. Yeah. It totally makes sense.
And Rod Ferguson saying, it's been a long time coming, but I couldn't be happier that we're finally making Dave's dream to be in Gears of War a reality in Gears 5. The iconic larger-than-life persona of Batista fits perfectly in the Gears of War universe, and the entire team at the Coalition can't wait to see him take on the Swarm and all other challengers in multiplayer. Dave and the WWE have been a pleasure to work with, and I'm hopeful this is just the beginning of our partnership. So,
did you see the other actor who did the
Rahul?
Yeah, Rahul.
Yeah.
He did like the cardboard.
He did like, he made a tweet. He's like, yeah, they made me a video too. And he comes up in like a cardboard thing. And he just says like,
yeah.
But he's actually in the game though.
Yeah.
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 So congratulations to Rod Ferguson, friend of the show, and to the Coalition. Great job on the campaign. We'll see how multiplayer turns out. We have high hopes, certainly. And then we'll have that final review in the not too distant future. Mark,
yeah,
it's your time to shine now, my friend.
Yay.
You ready to be put on the spot?
Sure.
Ghost Recon Breakpoint.
I've heard of it.
You and I attended a 6 or so hour preview event a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Had a chance to put our coverage together. I would very much encourage you to watch or read my preview, either video or written, on IGN or YouTube. And then you got some gameplay
clips. We put some PvP up, some campaign gameplay.
So I want to talk, because this is a game, Mark, Wildlands, I feel like, and again, this is just my little IGN community bubble. I'm not saying that this applies to the world, but I feel, sorry guys, it's getting over this sinus infection. I feel like, you know, Wildlands was one of the top, I think, three selling games in 2017.
Yeah, I remember that.
I just feel like it didn't get talked about a lot
in the
community. No, but not in came and went. Just, it was clearly played by a ton of people, but it just wasn't sort of part of the conversation.
That happened with Rainbow Six Siege as well, another Ubisoft,
which is still going.
Like people just like,
I am addicted to Rainbow Six Siege right now. I got back in, totally hooked.
Yeah,
probably put in 15 hours.
I feel I've heard that from five people recently.
But it's like, well, if you're not,
we have the whole series that we're doing. So.
Well, no, not here, like outside of IGN. Yeah, so many of my friends are like, oh yeah, I'm starting to play Siege. I was like,
But it's like, if you're not plugged in, you just think, oh, nobody plays Rainbow Six Siege. And then you go and look and you're like, oh, wow, it's bustling.
And I say that because kind of we've got coming up in, I think, about 1 month is Ghost Recon Breakpoint. It will be out.
I think it's October 5th.
Fourth?
Okay. Something like that.
Yeah. Beta's tomorrow?
Beta's tomorrow.
Yeah.
So the beta's getting
through
going.
The weekend.
So, you know, I'd certainly encourage you to give it a try if you have access to that beta. But yeah, Mark, we started from the beginning.
Yeah.
We were in 4-player co-op the whole time. And then we took a break. We did an hour of the Ghost War PvP multiplayer in the middle of that. So I'm kind of curious. I mean, again, I certainly encourage everybody to check out our coverage, because again, keep these lights on. But what did you think of it?
Ghost Recon is one of those games where if a big Ghost Recon fan came out and said, whoa, this game is incredible, I would be like, cool. I'm probably not going to play it, though. Like,
is that because we have so many things to do?
No, not. Because it probably more has to do with less about work and more just about there are so many games to play that to me, this one, it just doesn't stand out as much to me as like something I really want to sink a lot of time into. I'm not super like, so like something like Gears, right? It's like military and stuff like that, but it's like fantasy, right?
Yeah.
Where Ghost Recon is so military.
It's a military shooter. It always has been.
Right. And so that's like, I totally get why that's for other people. But to me, it's just a little too, even Call of Duty. I love Call of Duty. Call of Duty is more arcadey. And this is
weird in how it approaches military shooter. It's so fast.
Right. This is and just very military.
Right. And it always has been by design.
Like, yeah. And that's totally great.
It was born as Rainbow Six's outdoor, like, long range brother versus Rainbow Six has always been about the close quarters, you know, tactical military shooting. And this is about the long range tactical military shooting.
But it's just like what I can say about the story so far from what we've played, and your preview's up, so go watch that. I don't like it very much.
I did not mince words in the preview. I think the story, based on what we saw, the story is going to be laughably terrible.
It's pretty bad.
Laughably terrible.
It's pretty bad.
John Bernthal, I loved both seasons of The Punisher. I thought he was great. This story is very cliched, very hokey, super stupid. However,
dang,
super stupid.
However, what I think Breakpoint does super well. In fact, I don't think there's another game that's doing it quite the same way that Breakpoint is, and Wildlands did before it. Is I think Breakpoint's going to be an awesome vehicle for which four friends hop online together and just shoot the breeze and have fun doing these open world, free form military shooter missions where, you know, we might all take a helicopter over to one spot and, you know, fight some dudes. Maybe we decide we're going to pick them all. We're going to like get far away and pick them all off with sniper rifles one time. And maybe we're going to take dirt bikes and storm into another area, just guns blazing.
we did some stupid stuff.
Oh, yeah. When we decided to parachute out of the helicopter.
Yeah, well, because we all got the parachute ability and none of us had used it yet. And we're like, hey, let's try this. And you tried to land on a tower. It didn't work.
No.
What happened? It set off a hornet's nest of enemy activity.
Oh, God.
It was one of those things where he was parachuting and he was like, it's like normal parachute mechanics where you're like, oh, I need to go a little to the left. And so you just see his character. He pushes to the left and his thing just kind of like goes whoosh. And you just see him start to go around it, but not on it.
I missed it. I missed the target. Aww. But then
there was another part where we were like, we need to get over to like this area. And for some, our helicopter was dead at that point. And so we're like, let's just go. And we all decided to just find different ways of getting there. That took like 20 minutes just by itself. Cause we're just like, all of a sudden it's like, hey, McCaffrey, where are you? And he's like, oh, I'm just over here finding a behemoth tank. And you're like, I'm on a dirt bike in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. Like what's going on? Cause you can just kind of just go at. And so like those parts were really fun.
Yes.
You know, even infiltrating that base alone, I remember, it was just like we had some teammates and they were like, guys, the music hasn't quieted down yet. Like, there's still people here. Yeah. And so, like, everybody's just like running around looking for this one guy who was just like standing there.
Yeah.
Because you know, the music was still going.
Yeah.
So, and then it would go into a cut scene and you're like, ah.
So that's where I think the strength of it is. It's like, it's a fun military shooter sandbox in a way that, you know, other games aren't doing it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, you could play PUBG, but that's a 100 person.
Yeah,
that's last man standing battle royale.
It can be so stressful too. Like it's not you're going around having fun.
Right. And so this is, you know, again, four people, and I definitely it's clearly better with friends. Like playing
it does that like Metal Gear thing where it's like you could turn on guided mode and it tells you this is where you need to go.
Yeah, don't do that.
Or you can talk to the guy and then it'll show you like it'll be like you might need to go question the townsfolk and you may need to do this. And so then you'll go and you'll talk to some people and they'll be like, I think like northwest of wherever there was a whatever. And so then it, no markers pop up. It'll be like now here. And it's like separated by regions. So then like there was one part where we were like, we have no idea where to go. We're looking for this underground bunker. And so then we split up and ended up finding it like way faster.
And I thought that sort of light detective stuff was really cool, actually. I liked that it didn't just give you the breadcrumb trail.
Yeah, because then I turned on guided mode at one point, and sure enough, it was just like, we need to go to the bunker. And it was like, marker.
Yeah.
And you're like, got it.
So yeah, play with guided mode off, play with friends. Don't expect an Oscar caliber story.
I played it at E3 with Duggan, actually, and the devs. And what you guys are describing is exactly why I'm actually excited for this game.
Yeah.
Because if you go in with a bunch of friends and just fail in a fun way on every mission, it's actually a pretty good time.
I think, don't forget that everything is way more fun with friends.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That but funny. If you're saying the story is a bit of a stinker, then...
I mean, probably based on what I've seen.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it redeems itself. Yeah, I don't know. Knows. Maybe there's some cool
probably
twist.
Probably not.
It could just be a rough section.
Who knows? Yeah, a rough beginning. Could happen, but...
The first 5 hours are a little rocky, but it's much better.
But yeah.
I've heard people say stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that a lot.
Just get through 6 hours of gameplay.
Oh, you mean like Final Fantasy 13?
Oh, yeah. Just wait 60 hours. The game opens up. Oh, cool.
But anyway,
but then the multiplayer was cool.
Yes, thank
that,
you.
It was. I mean, it was what it was. It was, you know, arm this bomb, and then you can disarm it or just kill the other people. But
it's more traditional Ghost Recon, which yes, I've literally played every Ghost Recon. That made me happy.
Yeah, no, it was fun, and like, I think there was only like three maps available. But I don't
in
remember.
Our build,
I don't remember. Yeah, at the time that we played it, I don't remember ever playing on the same map twice. Because then all of a sudden it would be like, here's this map, but now it's dark and rainy.
Yeah, there was a night. Yep. Yeah, yeah. The R&D center at night was totally different.
And then it was like use night vision. And
yes.
Stuff like that. And yeah, it was that part was fun.
Yeah, I had a really good time. Just going all sniper rifle.
Yeah, you were in the back the whole time.
Yep. Just calling out stuff and picking dudes off and. Yeah.
So if you watch the really gameplay, good. I cut it together from both of our perspectives.
Nice.
So it's like it starts.
You made me look good.
Yeah, anytime one of us looked bad, I switched to the other one. But yeah, so you'll see me like I'll be like I'm arming the bomb at one point, and then it switches to Ryan, and Ryan's like watching out
because Mark's dying.
Yeah.
So there you go.
It was cool. I would say try to get into the beta because the beta looks like it's pretty meaty.
Yeah,
it looks like everything we got to play.
Yeah, probably.
But there's some story stuff. There's Ground War. Definitely get in and try to see if you like it.
So there's our book report on Ghost Recon Breakpoint on its way soon. We've already got our coverage up, and then the review will come early next month, right around release.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we are running out of time already here. So let's talk about CD Projekt Red, shall we?
Yeah.
Last week, we were talking. There was the report that maybe they're looking at multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying that if they do, probably won't be anytime soon. They are, and it probably won't be anytime soon. So, get this: they say as we're getting closer to launching single player Cyberpunk 2077 in April 2020, we'd like to confirm that multiplayer's in the works. The plan for now is to deliver Cyberpunk 2077 in April, then follow up with DLCs, free, and single-player content, and once we're done, invite you for some multiplayer action.
This is great. Red Dead did this. GTA did this. GTA had a little bit of a rocky start with their online component, but now it's like has this huge community.
Oh, and that's an understatement.
I say Red Dead had some troubles too, but no, it's
at the beginning.
It's because they launched it a beta and there just like wasn't anything to do. We were there on the ground floor, but I think it's a lot better.
But what do you guys think? What would you want to see with this? You know, we've gotten to see Cyberpunk behind closed doors and the couple of public bits they've shown too. So, you know, what would you want out of a multiplayer from this game?
I'd imagine they're going to start somewhere light. Like they're going to section off parts of the city for team deathmatch, for example, and maybe they give you some sort of benefit within the campaign. I think that's where they'll start, and then they'll build it out sort of the way that they did with GTA Online, the way that they did with
Red Dead. The game itself seems kind of dungeon, that's a made up word, where it's like, you know, you're out on the open streets, and then it's like, all right, now let's go infiltrate this warehouse.
Yeah.
And so I can picture these like, because GTA 5 does a lot of that where it's let's go hijack a train. And so it's like, now let's go infiltrate this. There's some bad stuff going on in here.
I'm really curious to see if they would actually want to do more of that open world kind of multiplayer where you do exist in a place with other people, or if they're going to do more lobby based multiplayer things.
Instant stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to say where they would want to go with that because I think their opportunity is there for both, and they could probably do both at the same simultaneously, but one obviously is like I think a little bit heavier maybe than the other.
Yeah, with with GTA Heist, when that came out, they actually, like, everybody got the same cutscene, but you would vote on your response, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then, like, whoever won out, you know, that's what you would go with.
That's how Red Dead was, too.
Yeah.
They would each vote on what they wanted to say.
Well, what's interesting to me here is when I wrote this up for the notes, pardon me again, my brain automatically goes to, oh, multiplayer, so, you know, deathmatch, adversarial stuff. But just hearing you guys talk is making me think, wait, maybe they'll do like four player, smaller scale, like PvE stuff.
Well, and the builds are so, like, they seem like they're going to be so diverse that it's like somebody's going to be able to do, you know, be a shooting expert and someone else is going to be a gadget expert. And it sounds like Cyberpunk's the last game you'll ever need.
That's what I would kind of worry about with, say something like deathmatch. Like, how do you balance that?
Yeah.
How do you make sure everyone has that? Are you setting aside different characters for you to play as, like with
like
a hero shooter in a way? Or are you letting people go in with their builds, which you probably can't do.
Yeah.
To keep for balance. So, like, there's all these things to consider, and I'm sure that's, you know, what they're hiring for right now. They're literally recruiting for this. So
yes.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of time to figure it out.
GTA, like, they standardize, like, everybody's
standard. Nobody has a gun and they're just on the map and
you have to pick up your weapons. Yeah. So, and then maybe the ability thing though is really interesting because that's a huge part of how you play with stealth, Netrunner, or whatever. Maybe they have like pre-made loadouts.
Yeah, that's
good point though. Thinking,
potentially. So
yeah. We'll interesting.
Yeah. It's but I think your guys' Rockstar comparison is apt because CD Projekt Red is in such a unique position in the industry where they are along with Bungie, probably the and I guess Gearbox, we have to put them in there too, is like sort of the biggest, most resource rich indie developers.
Yeah.
No publisher tells CD Projekt Red what to do. And, you know, they've got two franchises now in The Witcher and Cyberpunk, and they're doing some multiplayer. They're going to go down that road with Cyberpunk where, maybe they are going to try and build out a kind of Cyberpunk online thing where they can monetize it for years and years the same way. I'm like, GTA Online has been making Rockstar just wheelbarrows full of cash. Every day,
the most profitable piece of entertainment.
Six years, yeah. And then Red Dead's doing the same, of course. And the games themselves continue to sell, and I'm sure CD Projekt Red sees that as a model for, you know, they're not nearly as big. They don't have as many resources, certainly, as Rockstar does. Almost no one can claim that, but you know that would seem to be a somebody that they would be looking to be like, hey, what? Maybe we should take some notes here.
Yeah.
Next this week, Resident Evil. I will say Resident Evil 2, the remake, it, along with Gears 5 now, I think Resident Evil 2 is my favorite game so far this year.
Wow.
It's really enjoyed the heck out of it. And Capcom getting set to announce something new. They're going to be announcing it at the Tokyo Game Show.
I'll be there.
And excellent. Yeah. And they teased it's Project Resistance, and they highlighted the RE in Resistance to, you know, just a subtle little hint as to what this is.
It's minor, you know.
Now, there was some eagle-eyed community members managed to catch a trailer leak or thumbnail leak that showed off some of the characters, and it seems to be showing off a group of four people in civilian clothing, which may point to a four-player co-op game, possibly in the Resident Evil Outbreak mold. So say you?
You wrote a different game on here, which is what I hoped more. Resident Evil 4. That's what we want to see, like in Resident Evil 2 style, but I don't like the idea of Outbreak.
Left 4 Dead, kind of, meh.
Yeah.
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 Nah. No. I really like Resident Evil 7, probably more than most. And I really, really like Resident Evil 2. And so I'm more back on the Capcom's just been killing it. I'm more back on the camp of either another remake. A lot of people want 3, a lot of people want 4. I personally want Code Veronica. it's my favorite Dreamcast. Resident Evil. I play on PS2, Code Veronica X on PS2, or Resident Evil 8. Is what I would rather see than Left 4 Dead in the Resident Evil universe.
Miranda?
I don't like to be scared.
Oh, that's fair.
I played PT, I'm still having nightmares.
Oh, boy. And Blair Witch. You did great. You swore a few times.
Yeah. How dare you?
Also watched Hereditary the same day as he played PT. Like,
oh, wow. That's
a Hereditary. I'm going to go home.
Is it scary? Hereditary? I've never seen it.
It's very spooky. Anyway.
But you're
anyway.
Right.
But if this was a four-player, like, let's go shoot them up together, I can do that.
Yeah. Give me Resident 4 Dead. I'll take it. That's right. Fine. If
I think the Outbreak brand, because that's like a series, right?
Yeah.
I think it sort of has a negative connotation with it. So they would have to do something drastically different to sort of break that mentality that a lot of people have. There are people out there that, of course, love it.
Sure.
But I think they would have to change the formula to get me invested personally.
So we'll see. TGS is late September, Miranda?
It's next week.
What?
Wow.
Yep.
Wait.
See ya.
It's early that this year, isn't it?
Done.
I know.
Yeah. Huh?
Is it early this year?
No. It's always like mid-September-ish.
Okay.
Is it seriously next week?
It's seriously next week. I'm leaving for Japan on Tuesday.
Oh, so we won't have you on the show next week. Oh, that's a
bummer. Darn it. I just realized that. No.
Yeah.
You record early. Maybe.
We'll see.
We need to Skype you in. I fixed it.
From the plane?
That's true. From the plane. Just, I'll be like, hello, I'm on the Wi-Fi.
I'm sure that'll be a great.
Just means more Death Stranding stuff already next week.
Oh, yeah.
Quite possibly. Oh, Mark.
Welcome to fall, y'all.
All right. Final story this week, because we do need to move on. Telltale Games is back.
Is it, though?
Sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big old asterisk on there.
Yeah.
LCG Entertainment, a new company, has acquired the corpse.
Yeah.
It's like in Batman versus Superman, where Lex Luthor takes Jor-El's body and...
It's just like that.
It's exactly like that. And put some blood in the water in the thing and turn makes Darkseid.
Dang, that's what happened? That's brutal. Telltale Games would be rough.
Exactly what happened.
So by acquiring it, they get access to the IPs that Telltale had, right?
No.
Oh.
Some like of them.
Batman?
They get the ones that Telltale owned, right?
Because you know, they licensed everything. Mm-hmm. Telltale.
Yeah, they didn't make anything original.
They did, right.
Like, what was it? Puzzle.
Hang on, I have it. Yes, it is.
It's a weird thing.
Puzzle Agent.
Puzzle okay. Agent.
Yes.
Everyone's favorite Telltale game.
Well, at least those employees are back full time.
No.
Salary,
healthcare.
Nope. This is.
Okay, I'm like, okay.
We're just nailing this in. The crappy thing. It's like. Oh, yeah, there are some of the original workers are being offered
full-time.
Freelance.
With the potential for full-time. It's like,
yeah. Yeah, this was originally reported by Polygon, and so a tip of the hat there. The new Telltale Games is being run by Jamie Ottoli and Brian Waddle. Ottoli was the founder and CEO of Galaxy Pest Control, which worked with such licensed properties as Duck Dynasty and Power Rangers, while Waddle had previously ran sales and marketing for the Havoc, not Havoc Rose, game engine. Ottoli confirmed that, yes, as he said, some workers are being offered freelance roles. To answer your obvious setup question, Destin, thank you very much for that. Doing good podcast work over there. They do still have rights to Batman from WB. So that's really about the only place they could start right now, but they would need employees for that.
I thought there was something, maybe Borderlands?
Oh, no.
No? They don't have a rights to make another
for the Batman. I don't think.
I couldn't remember. I feel like there was something besides Batman that they also had the rights to as well. Maybe Wolf.
Was it Wolf Among Us? Hold on. I think it
says something in addition to
the back catalog rights to Wolf. So they could put Wolf Among Us
on
season
PS4.
One out again.
Got
well,
it.
Because it's all delisted. It's all gone.
Right.
So they could put that up, and I'm sure they will because money. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is a really bizarre story because, as you guys pointed out, the hundreds of employees of Telltale Games, which was located in the North Bay here across the Golden Gate Bridge in Marin/Novato, they were completely screwed by, they did not get severance. They did not. In fact, there is a class action lawsuit pending right now.
As there should be.
As there should be with the California labor laws. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Over the way that went down.
California, and if you're terminated, your vacation pay has to be paid out. Like, everything should still be honored. There's a whole bunch of stuff that you are supposed to pay as a business. Like,
if you're laid off, I don't know if you're terminated, laid off.
But they weren't terminated. They were laid off. The studio was closed. They were all laid
off. Severance. Yes.
Yeah. Right, because they were laid off.
That matter is pending. So those people have had zero restitution thus far. At the same point.
And this has nothing to do with them.
Exactly. This new company, you know, before you sort of get out the pitchforks and torches, this is, they didn't do that.
Yeah.
You know, these people are not responsible for the gross mismanagement and failure of Telltale Games. So it's sort of a bizarre place to try and, you know, you're not, I don't think you can really be on anyone's side other than to hope that in the lawsuit, the original employees get restitution.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And maybe this new company can bring back at least some of the original crew full time that have, and maybe, you know, if they haven't found another opportunity yet. Part of this is this new place is going to be headquartered down in Malibu in Southern California. And as I just said, Telltale was here. So, you know, that's, it's not, it
can be hard,
right? It's not just as easy as anybody that's still unemployed from Telltale
going back to the old office.
Exactly. That's not going to be the case at all. So
a freelance job, 800 miles away. Eh?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. So it's a very, very strange situation. And even if they did start to staff up and get something back, you know, try to spin up game production, it will probably be all new talent, which isn't inherently a bad thing. There's nothing that, you know, new talent can be good. We've seen that with a million games and a million other studios. But what are you going to do about the technology? Because are you really going to just start making games on the old Telltale engine again?
Right.
Kick the hamster.
Notoriously bad.
There's a lot of questions here. It's like, obviously, I mean, Telltale closed. Mismanagement, of course, but other things too. So it's like, how are they going to address those issues that happened? Yeah. And
Ryan brings up a good point.
That's not a question.
Yeah. It's not this company's fault that bad stuff happened, but that bad stuff is still lingering.
Yes.
It's like the Telltale story just makes me sad.
Yeah. It's just hard to hear that too. It's like, oh, well, we're bringing this back and this is the stuff that you're creating or working on. Now we're going to put other people on it and you lost out on everything. It feels bad.
Yeah.
If you want to get caught up, go watch Danny O'Dwyer's NoClip, the documentary.
Yes.
It's super good.
Yeah,
and it's very thorough.
Yeah. He's fantastic. I love what Danny does. All right. We are actually over time a little bit, so I'm going to skip the loot box. We'll save that for next week. But while I've got everybody here with Miranda heading out next week, I do want to do trivia. So let's do that right now. All right. I'm hoping that this is a layup because I actually think we've done this question before.
I think it's been a while because I know I've seen this come through.
So this is testing your Gears knowledge in celebration of Gears 5's release. I'm seeing a lot of unhappy faces already around the table.
These small details, like if you know this, you're just so incredible, and I admire the heck out of you.
Yeah, I think this is a Gears 1 bit of knowledge, specifically.
They probably revisit it in 3, right?
Possibly, but here we go. Anyway, Edgar from El Paso, Texas.
Woo, El Paso.
Edgar, I think you're well on your way to stumping everyone here. This, I will say, I did remember this only because I think I've seen the question come through enough times where I do remember this one. But so the Coltrane. Cole in Gears, before E-Day happened in his previous life, he was a professional thrashball player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Basically the football.
He was good.
Yeah, he was super good. What uniform number did he wear?
I don't know.
Was it 88, 83, 33, or 13?
I'm going with 83.
Okay.
I don't know the answer.
All right.
I'm sorry, everyone.
Mark?
I think this is also in Gears 3 because he has that whole flashback sequence and he's in his uniform.
Yeah.
It doesn't help me at all. I was just throwing that out there.
Get the scores here, all you guys.
If the question was, where was the flashback sequence for Coltrane, then we would have nailed it.
You would have crushed it.
Which one did you pick?
83.
Okay, I'm just going to pick one that nobody else picks, so go for it, Destin.
No, you don't get to pick that. He called you first.
Well, you have three other answers. Yeah.
I'm going to go with 13.
Okay. All right, I'll go 88, number one.
Okay.
Because it seems like a nice round.
If it's 33, we're...
I like symmetry.
Please be 33.
Miranda, that is correct. Yes, oh, yes it, nice. Was, it was nice. Indeed 83. Miranda at 6 points Yay. For the year. Destin at 9. So we got to narrow the gap You're a little bit up. Here. Tighten the race a little bit. Mark nice. At 2. You got to come back next Whatever. Week with Miranda here. You got a shot to
Miranda's on the comeback
get
train.
Back in the race. So excellent job, Edgar from El Paso, Texas. If you would, if anybody else out there would like to send in a trivia question from the world of Xbox, try to stump this panel, please do so by sending your question along with 4 multiple choice answers. Note the correct one in your email. Send all that to unlocked@ign.com. Let's get the heck out of here before I get yelled at by our producers again, like I did last week for going way over our assigned time. Oops. I did. But hey, the rules are the rules. Got to respect the rules. You can find me on Twitter at @DMC_Ryan. Please check out my Gears 5 campaign review. And I wrote a fun little opinion piece, little op-ed about buying my daughter doing the $200 custom lightsaber at Disneyland and about how they don't let you play with it. After you spend all that money and you're in Star Wars and you get, so just a fun little piece. I would love it if you would go check that out. Destin.
Yeah.
Want to plug anything?
No, I'm working on a bunch of embargoed stuff. So just hit me up on Twitter @DestinLegarry. Watch my streams. They're fun. Twitch.tv/TheDestinChannel. And I stream to Unlocked because it's Gears. Yes. I'll stream to Unlocked very occasionally when it's thematically appropriate. So
sounds good. Mark.
Twitter @Mark_Medina. I'll plug two things. Neither of them are Xbox things. One is I wrote a very, very extensive piece for Death Stranding. Every character confirmed and bits of info we know about them.
Just what Xbox fans want to watch.
Yep. It's 10 minutes. The video is 10 minutes long, and we're going to learn more next week. So it's we'll see what happens with that. People probably know, we post a lot of speedruns on the site, and I speedrun some stuff, and I'm going to post one of my first speedrunning things on Saturday. So Sweet. Check it out Saturday
Looking
morning.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's cool.
Love it. Miranda, take us home.
Yeah. So you can follow me @HavocRosen, Havoc with a K, on Instagram and Twitter. Please check out my review of Gears 5 multiplayer. Whenever that goes up, I'm going to try to turn it on as fast as I can, but within, giving me enough time to play multiplayer. I like to have a lot of time with it. Yeah. Cause I kind of want to try to find for balance and more stuff too. And horde takes forever. So,
you gotta do all 50 waves.
Yeah. It's going to be a good challenge. We'll see what we get. Please check that out. Next week, obviously I'm going to TGS. So please stay tuned for my write-ups from whatever I find there. We will see. And I think I might start streaming too on Twitch. Havoc Grows.
Do it.
It's the same everywhere. Excellent. We'll see if that happens. I don't know. I got a skeleton. I'm very excited to show her off. So.
Excellent. Thank you, everybody. And we will see you back here next week.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.